Part 3 of Antigone by Sophocles. Translated by Edward Hayes Plumptree, 1821 to 1891. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. Part 3. Creon. And know ye not, if men have leave to speak their songs and wailings, thus to stave off death, that they will never stop? Lead, lead her on without delay. And, as I have said, immure in yon cavernous tomb, and then depart. Leave her to choose, or drear in lonely death, or living in the tomb to find her home. Our hands are clean in all that touches her, but she no more shall dwell on earth with us. Antigone, turning towards the covers. O tomb, my bridal chamber, vaulted home, guarded right well forever where I go to join mine own, of whom the greater part among the dead doth Persephassa hold, and I of all the last and saddest wend my way below, life's little span unfilled. And yet I go, and feed myself with hopes that I shall meet them, by my father loved, dear to my mother, well beloved of thee, thou darling brother. I with these my hands washed each dear corpse, arrayed you, poured libations and rites of burial, and in care for thee, thy body, Polynices, honouring, I gained this recompense. And yet, in sight of all that rightly judged the deed was good, I had not done it had I come to be a mother with her children, had not dared, though 'twere a husband dead that mouldered there, against my country's will to bear this toil. And am I asked what law constrained me thus? I answer, had I lost a husband dear, I might have had another. Other sons by other spouse, if one were lost to me. But when my father and my mother sleep in Hades, then no brother more can come, and therefore giving thee the foremost place, I seemed in Creon's eyes, O brother dear, to sin in boldest daring. Therefore now he leads me, having taken me by force, cut off from marriage bed and marriage song, untasting wife's true joy or mother's bliss, with infant at her breast, but all forlorn, bereaved of friends in utter misery. Alive, I tread the chambers of the dead. What law of heaven have I transgressed against? What use for me, ill-starred one, still to look to any god for succor, or to call on any friend for aid? For a holiest deed I bear this charge of rank unholiness. If acts like these the gods on high approve, we, taught by pain, shall own that we have sinned. But if these sin, looking at Creon, I pray they suffer not worse evils than the wrongs they do to me. Chorus. Still do the same wild blasts vex her who standeth there. Creon. Therefore shall these her guards weep sore for this delay. Chorus. Ah me, this word of thine tells of death drawing nigh. Creon. I cannot bid thee hope for other end than this. Antigone. O citadel of Thebes, my native land, ye gods of ancient days, I go and linger not. Behold me, O ye senators of Thebes, the last lone scion of the kingly race, what things I suffer and from whom they come, revering still the laws of reverence. Guards lead Antigone away. Strophe 1. Chorus. So did the form of Danae bear of old, in brazen palace hid, to lose the light of heaven, and in her tomb-like chamber was enclosed. Yet she, O child, was noble in her race, and well she stored the golden shower of Zeus. But great and dread the might of destiny, nor kingly wealth, nor war, nor tower, nor dark-hulled ships beaten by waves escape. Antistrophe. So too was shut and closed in dungeon cave, bitter and fierce in mood, the son of Dryas, king of yon Edonian tribes, for vile reproach, by Dionysus' hands, and so his strength and soul o'ermad, waste drop by drop away, and so he learnt that he, against the god, spake his mad words of scorn, for he the maenad throng and bright fire fain had stopped, and roused the muse's wrath. Strophe 2. And by the double sea of those dark rocks are shores of Bosporus and Thracian Isle, as Salmydessos known, where Ares, whom they serve, god of the region round, saw the dire blinding wound that smote the twin-born sons of Phineus, by relentless stepdame's hand. Dark wound on dark doomed eyes, not with the stroke of sword, but blood-stained hands and point of spindle sharp. Antistrophe 2. And they in misery, miserable fate, wasting away, wept sore, born of a mother wedded with a curse, and she who claimed descent from men of ancient fame, the old Erechthide race, amid her father's winds, daughter of Boreas in far-distant caves was reared, a child of gods, swift-moving as the steed o'er lofty crag, and yet the ever-living fates bore hard on her. Enter Tiresias, guided by a boy. Tiresias, princes of Thebes, we come as travellers joined, one seeing for both, for still the blind must use a guide's assistance to direct his steps. Creon, and what new thing, Tiresias, brings thee here? Tiresias, I'll tell thee, and do thou the seer obey. Creon, of old I was not wont to slight thy thoughts. Tiresias, so didst thou steer our city's course full well. Creon, I bear my witness from good profit gained. Tiresias, know then thou walk'st on fortune's razor edge. Creon, what means this? How I shudder at thy speech. Tiresias, soon shalt thou know, as thou dost hear the signs of my dread art, for sitting as of old upon my ancient seat of augury, where every bird finds haven, lo, I hear strange cry of winged creatures shouting shrill with inarticulate passion, and I knew that they were tearing each the other's flesh with bloody talons, for their whirring wings made that quite clear. And straightway I in fear made trial of the sacrifice that lay on fiery altar, and Hephaestus' flame shone not from out the offering, but there oozed upon the ashes, trickling from the bones, a moisture, and it smouldered and it spat, and lo, the gall was scattered to the air, and forth from out the fat that wrapped them round the thigh-bones fell. Such omens of decay from holy sacrifice I learnt from him, this boy who now stands here, for he is still a guide to me as I to others am. And all this evil falls upon the state from out thy counsels, for our altars all, our sacred hearths are full of food for dogs and birds unclean, the flesh of that poor wretch who fell, the son of Oedipus. And so the gods no more hear prayers of sacrifice, nor own the flame that burns the victim's limbs, nor do the birds give cry of omen good, but feed on carrion of a slaughtered corpse. Think'st thou on this, my son? To err indeed is common unto all, but having erred, he is no longer reckless or unblessed, who having fallen into evil seeks for healing, nor continues still unmoved. Self-will must bear the charge of stubbornness. Yield to the dead, and outrage not a corpse. What prowess is it fallen foes to slay? Good counsel give I, planning good for thee, and of all joys the sweetest is to learn from one who speaketh well, should that bring gain. Creon, old man, as archers aiming at their mark, so ye shoot forth your venom darts at me. I know your augur's tricks, and by your tribe long since am tricked and sold. Yes, gain your gains, get Sardis amber metal, Indian gold, that corpse ye shall not hide in any tomb. Not though the eagles, birds of Zeus, should bear their carrion morsels to the throne of God. Not even fearing this pollution dire will I consent to burial. Well I know that man is powerless to pollute the gods. But many fall, Tiresias, dotard old, a shameful fall, who glows their shameful words for lucre's sake with surface show of good. Tiresias, ah me, does no man know, does none consider? Creon, consider what? What trite poor saw comes now? Tiresias, how far good counsel is of all things best? Creon, so far, I trow, as folly is worst ill. Tiresias, of that disease thy soul, alas, is full. Creon, I will not meet a seer with evil words. Tiresias, thou dost so, saying I divine with lies. Creon, the race of seers is ever fond of gold. Tiresias, and that of tyrants still loves lucre foul. Creon, dost know thou speak'st thy words of those that rule? Tiresias, I know. Through me thou rul'st a city saved. Creon. Wise seer art thou, yet given overmuch to wrong. TiRESIAS. Thou'lt stir me to speak out my soul's dread secrets. Creon. Out with them ! Only speak them not for gain. TiRESIAS. So is it, I trow, in all that touches thee. Creon. Know that thou shalt not bargain with my will. TiRESIAS. Know then, and know it well, that thou shalt see not many winding circuits of the sun, before thou giv'st as quittance for the dead a corpse by thee begotten, for that thou hast to the ground cast one that walked on earth, and foully placed within a sepulchre a living soul, and now thou keep'st from them, the gods below, the corpse of one unblessed, unwept, unhallowed, and in these things thou canst claim no part, nor yet the gods above. But they by thee are outraged, and they wait, the sure though slow avengers of the grave, the dread Erinnes of the mighty gods, for thee in these same evils to be snared. Search well if I say this as one who sells his soul for money. Yet a little while, and in thy house the wail of men and women shall make it plain, and every city stirs itself in arms against thee, owning those whose limbs the dogs have buried, or fierce wolves, or winged birds have brought the accursed taint to region consecrate, doom like to this, sure darting as an arrow to its mark, I launch at thee, for thou dost vex me sore, an archer aiming at the very heart, and thou shalt not escape its fiery sting. And now, O boy, lead thou me home again, that he may vent his spleen on younger men, and learn to keep his tongue more orderly, with better thoughts than this his present mood. Exit. Chorus. The man has gone, O king, predicting woe, and well we know, since first our raven hair was mixed with grey, that never yet his words were uttered to our state and failed of truth. Creon. I know it too, 'tis that that troubles me. To yield is hard, but holding out to smite one's soul with sorrow, this is harder still. Chorus. We need wise counsel, O Menoecius' son. Creon, what shall I do? Speak thou, and I'll obey. Chorus, go then, and free the maiden from her tomb, and give a grave to him who lies exposed. Creon, is this thy counsel? Dost thou bid me yield? Chorus, without delay, O king, for lo, they come, the gods swift-footed ministers of ill, and in an instant lay the self-willed low. Creon, ah me, 'tis hard, and yet I bend my will to do thy bidding. With necessity we must not fight at such o'erwhelming odds. Chorus. Go then and act. Commit it not to others. Creon. E'en as I am, I'll go. Come, come, my men, present or absent, come, and in your hands bring axes. Come to yonder eminence, and I, since now my judgment leans that way, who myself bound her, now myself will loose. Too much I fear lest it should wisest prove, maintaining ancient laws, to end my life. Exit. Strophe 1. Chorus. O thou of many names, of that Cadmeian maid, the glory and the joy, whom Zeus as offspring owns, Zeus thundering deep and loud, who watchest over famed Italia, and reign'st over all the bays that Deo claims on fair Eleusis' coast. Bacchus, who dwell'st in Thebes, the mother town of all thy Bacchant train, among Ismenus' stream and with the dragon's brood. Antistrophe 1. Thee, o'er the double peak of yonder height, the blaze of flashing fire beholds, where nymphs of Corycos go forth in Bacchic dance, and by the flowery stream of Castalie, and thee the ivied slopes of Nisa's hills, and vine-clad promontory, while words of more than mortal melody shout out the well-known name, send forth the guardian lord of the wide streets of Thebes. Strophe 2. Above all cities thou, with her, thy mother whom the thunder slew, dost look on it with love. And now, since all the city bendeth low beneath the sullen plague, come thou, with cleansing tread, o'er the Parnassian slopes, or o'er the moaning straits. Antistrophe 2. O thou, who lead'st the band, the choral band of stars still breathing fire, lord of the hymns of night, the child of highest Zeus, appear, O king, with Thyian maidens wild who all night long in dance, with frenzied chorus sing thy praise, their lord Aeacus. Enter Messenger. Messenger. Ye men of Cadmus and Amphion's house, I know no life of mortal man which I would either praise or blame. 'Tis fortune's chance that raiseth up, and fortune bringeth low, the man who lives in good or evil plight. And profit of men's future there is none. For Creon, so I deem, deserved to be at once admired and envied, having saved this land of Cadmos from the hands of foes. And, having ruled with fullest sovereignty, he lived and prospered, joyous in a race of goodly offspring. Now all this is gone, for when men lose the joys that sweeten life, I cannot deem they live, but rather count as if a breathing corpse. His heaped-up stores of wealth are large, so be it, and he lives with all a sovereign state, and yet if joy be absent, all the rest I count as naught, and would not weigh them against pleasure's charm, more than a vapor's shadow. Chorus. What is this? What new disaster tell'st thou of our chiefs? Messenger. Dead are they, and the living cause their death. Chorus. Who slays, and who is slaughtered? Tell thy tale. Messenger. Haemon is dead, slain, weltering in his blood. Chorus. By his own act, or by his father's hand? Messenger. His own, in wrath against his father's crime. Chorus. O prophet, true, most true, those words of thine. Messenger. Since things stand thus, we well may counsel take. Chorus. Lo, Creon's wife comes, sad Eurydice. She from the house approaches, hearing speech about her son, or else by accident. Enter Eurydice. Eurydice. I on my way, my friends, as suppliant bound, to pay my vows at palace shrine, have heard your words, and so I chanced to draw the bolt of the half-open door, when, lo, a sound falls on my ears, of evil striking home. And terror-struck I fall in deadly swoon back in my handmaid's arms. Yet tell it me, tell the tale once again, for I shall hear, by long experience, discipline to grief. Messenger. Dear lady, I will tell thee. I was by, and will not leave one word of truth untold. Why should we smooth and gloze, where all too soon we should be found as liars? Truth is still the only safety. Lo, I went with him, thy husband, in attendance to the edge of yonder plain, where still all ruthlessly the corpse of Polynices lay exposed, mangled by dogs. And having prayed to her, the goddess of all pathways, and to Pluto, to temper wrath with pity, him they washed with holy washing, and what yet was left we burnt in branches freshly cut, and heaped a high-raised grave from out his native soil. And then we entered on the stone-paved home, death's marriage chamber for the ill-starred maid. And someone hears, while standing yet afar, shrill voice of wailing near the bridal bower, by funeral rites unhallowed, and he comes and tells my master Creon. On his ears, advancing nearer, falls a shriek confused of bitter sorrow, and with groaning loud he utters one sad cry, "Me miserable! And am I then a prophet? Do I wend this day the dreariest way of all my life? My son's voice greets me. Go, my servants, go. Quickly draw near, and standing by the tomb, search ye and see. And where the stone torn out shall make an opening, look ye in, and say if I hear Haemon's voice, or if my soul is cheated by the gods." And then we searched, as he our master in his frenzy bade us. And in the furthest corner of the vault, we saw her hanging by her neck with cord of linen threads entwined, and him we found clasping her form in passionate embrace, and mourning o'er the doom that robbed him of her, his father's deed, and that his marriage bed so full of woe. When Creon saw him there, groaning aloud in bitterness of heart, he goes to him and calls in wailing voice, "Poor boy, what hast thou done? Hast thou then lost thy reason? In what evil sinkest thou? Come forth, my child, on bended knee I ask thee." And then the boy with fierce, wild, gleaming eyes glared at him, spat upon his face, and draws, still answering not, the sharp two-handled sword. Missing his aim, his father from the blow turning aside, in anger with himself the poor ill-doomed one, even as he was, fell on his sword and drove it through his breast, full half its length, and clasping yet alive the maiden's arm, still soft, he there breathes out in broken gasps upon her fair white cheek, swift stream of bloody shower. So they lie, dead bridegroom with dead bride, and he has gained, poor boy, his marriage rites in Hades' home, and left to all men witness terrible, the man's worst ill is want of counsel wise. Exit Eurydice. Chorus. What dost thou make of this? She turneth back before one word, or good or ill she speaks. Messenger. I too am full of wonder, yet with hopes I feed myself. She will not think it meet, hearing her son's woes, openly to wail out in the town, but to her handmaids there will give command to wail her woe at home. Too trained a judgment has she so to err. Chorus. I know not. To my mind, or silence hard, or vain wild cries, are signs of bitter woe. Messenger. Soon we shall know, within the house advancing, if in the passion of her heart she hides a secret purpose. Truly dost thou speak. There is a terror in that silence hard. Chorus. Seeing Creon approaching, with the corpse of Haemon in his arms. And lo, the king himself is drawing nigh, and in his hands he bears a record clear. No woe, if I may speak, by others caused, himself the great offender. Enter Creon, bearing Haemon's body. Creon. Woe for the sins of souls of evil mood, stern, mighty to destroy. O ye who look on those of kindred race, the slayers and the slain, woe for mine own rash plans that prosper not. Woe for thee, son, but new in life's career and by a new fate dying. Woe, woe, thou diest, thou art gone, not by thine evil counsel, but by mine. Chorus. Ah me, too late thou seem'st to see the right. Creon. Ah me, I learn the grievous lesson. On my head God, pressing sore, hath smitten me and vexed in ways most rough and terrible. Ah me, shattering my joy is trampled underfoot. Woe, woe, man's labors are but labor lost. Enter second messenger. Second messenger. My master, thou, as one who hast full store, one source of sorrow bearest in thine arms, and others in thy house, too soon, it seems, thou needst must come and see. Creon. And what remains worse evil than the evils that we bear? Second messenger. Thy wife is dead. That corpse's mother true, ill-starred one, smitten with a blow just dealt. Creon. O agony! Haven of death that none may pacify. Why dost thou thus destroy me? Turning to messenger. O thou who comest bringing in thy train woes horrible to tell, thou tramplest on a man already slain. What sayst thou? What new tidings brings to me? Ah me, ah me! Is it that now there waits in store for me my own wife's death to crown my misery? Chorus. Full clearly thou mayst see, no longer now dost yon recess conceal her. The gates open and show the dead body of Eurydice. Creon, woe is me! This second ill I gaze on, miserable. What fate, yea, what still lies in wait for me? Here in my arms I bear what was my son, and there, O misery, look upon the dead. Ah, wretched mother! Ah, my son, my son! Second messenger. In frenzy wild she round the altar clung, and closed her darkening eyelids, and bewailed the noble fate of Megareus, who died long since, and then again that corpse thou hast. And last of all she cried a bitter cry against thy deeds, the murderer of thy sons. Creon. Woe, woe, alas! I shudder in my fear. Will no one strike a deadly blow with sharp two-edged sword? Fearful my fate, alas, and with a fearful woe full sore beset. Second messenger. She in her death charged thee with being the cause of all their sorrows, these and those of old. Creon. And in what way struck she the murderous blow?
Second Messenger. With her own hand below her heart she stabbed, hearing her son's most pitiable fate.
Creon. Ah me, the fault is mine. On no one else of all that live the fearful guilt can come. I, even I, did slay thee. Woe is me. I, yes, I speak the truth. Lead me, ye guards, lead me forth quickly. Lead me out of sight, more crushed to nothing than is nothing's self.
Chorus. Thou counselest gain, if gain there be in ills, for present ills, when shortest then, are best.
Creon. Oh, come thou then, come thou, the last of all my dooms that brings to me best boon, my life's last day. Come then, oh come, that never more I look upon the light.
Chorus. These things are in the future, what is near, that we must do. Or what is yet to come they watch, to whom that work of right belongs.
Creon. I did but pray for what I most desire.
Chorus. Pray thou for nothing then. For mortal man there is no issue from a doom decreed.
Creon, looking at the two corpses, lead me then forth, vain shadow that I am, who slew thee, O my son, unwillingly, and thee too, O my sorrow, and I know not which way to look or turn. All near at hand is turned to evil, and upon my head there falls a doom far worse than I can bear.
Chorus. Man's highest blessedness in wisdom chiefly stands, and in the things that touch upon the gods, 'tis best in word or deed to shun unholy pride. Great words of boasting bring great punishments, and so to gray-haired age teach wisdom at the last.
End of part 3. Recording by Expatriate in Bangor, Maine. End of Antigone by Sophocles. Translated by Edward Hayes Plumptree, 1821 to 1891.